In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have a rather unique occurrence. It is the first Sunday of Lent, on which we celebrate the Sunday of Orthodoxy and the restoration of the icons. But at the same time today, what is unique about it, or what is much less common, is that on March 9th, we celebrate on the church calendar every year, no matter when it falls, on March 9th, we celebrate the feast of the Holy 40 Martyrs of Sabasti. And I'll speak to you about these Holy 40 Martyrs because the epistle reading that we had today is a sign not for the first Sunday of Lent as we would normally read it, but rather for the Holy 40 Martyrs. Yet at the same time, it certainly applies very much to what we are commemorating and remembering this season during Great Lent, and certainly as we approach Holy Week. The Holy 40 Martyrs were living in the early 300s, and they were soldiers in the Roman army. And it was a time of religious turmoil, we might say, in the Roman Empire, because it was a time where Rome was transitioning from the old pagan religion to the Roman cults, the cult of the gods, and into Christianity. But there was a lot of back and forth that happened during the 4th century, depending upon who was in charge, and in different places of the empire, depending on who was in charge of a specific area, such that Christians were still often persecuted during this time of the Holy 40 Martyrs. And it so happened that the commander of these 40 martyrs was someone who was antagonistic to Christianity and who asked his soldiers about what their religious beliefs were and who threatened to strip the soldiers of their rank if they confessed the Christian faith. And so the 40 martyrs, there were 40 originally, who confessed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their faith, as their God. And so they were put by this commander out on a frozen lake. And to sort of entice these martyrs, or to rub it in, there was a fire that was started just off the lake where they could come and warm themselves, so that they wouldn't die for their faith. And one of the men was weak and ultimately decided to depart and to leave the lake and go to the warmth of the fire. But in his place, there was another who, seeing this faith of the Holy 40 Martyrs, the 39 that were left, and how they were willing to stick it out for their faith in Christ, said, "I too am a Christian." And he followed them out on the lake, and so there ended up still being 40 martyrs. Hence the feast of the Holy 40 Martyrs of Sabasti. And so we hear in the reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews that since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and of course here Paul is referring to his previous chapter, chapter 11, we pick up in chapter 12, where he talked about what we might call the Old Testament saints, those in the Old Testament who suffered for their faith and their belief in the biblical God. But it also, of course, to us 2,000 years later, applies not just to the Old Testament saints, but to the saints like the Holy 40 Martyrs and the many others that we have who witnessed to Christ these past 2,000 years. He tells us to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us. And that is exactly what we Orthodox Christians aim to do during this season of Great Lent, to unburden ourselves not only of our sin, but of the weight of this world and the cares of this world, and to run with perseverance the race set before us. And then notice what St. Paul says, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy of following God's commandments, we'll hear in St. Basil's liturgy that we use during this season of Great Lent, that the joy was in keeping God's commandments. You know, we often think of the joy as being joy in heaven. And as I say, we often think of heaven as some sort of cosmic Disney world where we just go and we have fun. But the joy is in keeping our Lord's commandments and living the way that He taught us to live. So with that joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. And it's so important for us, brothers and sisters, to remember how shameful it was to be crucified at the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're so used to it. We see this cross that I wear, it's hiding under my vestment here. Got this big hole, get it out here. But the cross that I wear around my neck every week or every service, the crosses that adorn our churches, the crosses that adorn you. We're so used to seeing these and we forget the scandal of the cross. And it was important for Paul, notice in all of his writings, that when he talks about the death of Jesus, it's not just the fact that Jesus died, it's the fact that he died on the cross. That was extremely important to St. Paul. Why is that? It was because the cross was a weapon of shame and humiliation. It was a weapon that was used in the Roman Empire. It was not allowed to be used on people who were Roman citizens, like Paul himself. That's why Paul wasn't crucified when he was martyred. It wasn't allowed on them. It was only allowed on people who didn't have the dignity, first of all, of being a Roman citizen. And then it was used often for common criminals, or in the case of Jesus, for someone who was seen to be rebelling against the state, rebelling against the emperor, someone who claimed that he had another kingdom, even though Jesus taught very clearly that it was not a kingdom of this world. And so it's important for us to remember how shameful it was for one to die on the cross. And why is that? Why is it important for us to remember? It's important for us to remember because we talk about the cross and what Jesus did on the cross as God's glory. You'll see in the icons of the crucifixion, we don't have on the icons that He is the King of the Jews, as was written, historically speaking, according to the Gospels, was written above His cross. But we have on the icon of the crucifixion, the King of Glory. And the reason is that God's glory is not like the glory of this world. God's glory is found in the shame of this world. God's glory is in being with, identifying with, and uplifting those who are humiliated, those who are outcast, those who are forgotten, those who are down and out. That's what the cross teaches us. And because our Lord Jesus Christ was the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, being perfect in His faith in God, being found without sin, He was raised, as Paul says elsewhere, not here in this letter to the Hebrews, but He was raised as the first fruits. What does that mean? The first fruits means that it's the first time that the fruit is appearing. Like if you are growing grapes, there will be some that appear before others, much earlier than you might expect the rest of the crop to appear. And when you see the first fruits, what happens? You have hope. You have hope that you planted correctly, that things went well in the season, and that the rest of the grapes will hopefully come in due time, in the proper time. And so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ, Him being the first fruits. It provides us hope that if we put our trust in God, even to the point of death, He will reverse the judgment of this world against us. And for this reason, Jesus was raised as the first fruits. And as St. Paul says here, was seated at the right hand of the throne of God, as we'll hear later after we celebrate Pascha, the resurrection. He was seated there, and as we'll confess later today in the Creed, to judge, to execute God's judgment at the final judgment of this world and at His second coming. But notice what St. Paul says after this. Consider Him, Jesus, consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Guilty as charged, right? We're all here. We haven't resisted yet to the point of our death, as Jesus did. And then so important for us to remember this rhetorical question that St. Paul asks. And have you forgotten the exhortation which comes from Scripture? Have you forgotten the exhortation which addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage when you're punished by Him. For the Lord disciplines him whom He loves, and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? You know, it's important for us to understand, because there is a message that's very prominent in our society, and it tends to be something that I find is even prominent in our own heads, that when things go wrong in our lives, it's somehow God punishing us in a negative way. What did I do wrong that God is punishing me? Why is this happening to me? We have people who preach what is often referred to as a prosperity gospel, that if you follow God's will, good things will happen to you, you know, just like Jesus. Oh, wait, what did we just talk about with Jesus? Oh, yeah, so maybe that's not actually the case, right? And what St. Paul is reminding us is that if these things happen to Jesus, it will happen to you. You will have to struggle in this life. You will have to be faced with shame if you're going to do God's will. You will have to be willing to be humiliated and embarrassed in front of others. So what we ought to be asking is, why is everything going so well in my life? Am I doing something wrong? Is God not disciplining me? Because as St. Paul says, if you're left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. You see, brothers and sisters, if God loves us in this world, He allows us to suffer. Because God loves us here and now, He allows us to suffer that we may grow, that we may mature. And all of us who are earthly parents can understand very easily this concept. Because from day one, we try to prevent in our children, we try to prevent them from making the mistakes that we made. And to some degree, we can help them in that process. But ultimately, we realize in the end that no matter what we might say to them, no matter how we might warn them, there seems to be only one way for us fallen human beings to learn, and that is to make some mistakes ourselves. The only way that we seem to learn is to suffer, at least a little bit. The only way for us to learn is to do wrong and to be disciplined and to be brought back on course. So, brothers and sisters, let us remember during this holy season of Lent, and especially today, let us remember the holy 40 martyrs who serve as another example of the great cloud of witnesses that we have, who themselves followed after Jesus, who is our prime example always, our prime example. We look through the holy 40 martyrs to Jesus. We honor them because they showed us a way to live out our faith in Christ. But let us always look to Him as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And remember that when we suffer, when we experience pain, when we experience shame and humiliation in this world, why? It is because He loves us. And He wants us to continue to grow so that we may show forth His image and likeness to this world. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.